Kedushin, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel 2-3, and the Mishnah really is continuing on the previous topic, which is, and here really is the Chiddush of our Mishnah over here in a nutshell, if Kedushin is to occur, there has to be this agreement ahead of time, the meeting of the minds prior to the transaction and the Maisa Kinyan, like we said before. That means that there could be certain terms and conditions. If there are terms and conditions that either he or she puts forth, and then it turns out that they're not true, he says that I'm a Kohen, but actually he isn't a Kohen. If there's a good reason to think, even a reasonable reason to think, that the woman could have cared about that, therefore she wouldn't have agreed, presumably, at the time of the Maisa Kinyan. Therefore, it's called the Mekach Taos. The transaction was made under false pretenses, and it's not binding, and the marriage isn't binding at all. So our Mishnah is going to basically say that if he says to her that let's get married on condition that, and fill in the blank, there are numerous blanks being filled in the Mishnah. So then, even if it turns out that it's not true, the terms that he was saying or the promise he was making, so then even if she would claim later on, I don't actually care about that, I'd have married him anyways, it doesn't matter, the marriage wasn't binding, the Kedushin isn't a Kedushin, she wouldn't even need a get, they have to start again from scratch. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, Almanas Sha'ani Kohen, V'nimtza Levi. If a person says to a woman, Harat Mukadeshet Li, be married to me by taking this ring, on condition that I'm a Kohen, and it turns out he's not a Kohen, let's say he's a lady. So it could be that she wants to marry a man who's a Kohen because a Kohen has certain yichas, certain standing. It's a point of pride to be married into a Kohen family, and therefore we can presume that she would object. And similarly, Levi v'nimtza Kohen, if he says, marry me because I'm a Levi, and it turns out he's not a Levi, he's a Kohen, well, she might object that as well, because a reasonable person might think, listen, it's all very nice to be married into a Kohen family, but Kohanim are subject to various restrictions in terms of Tumah and Tahara, ritual purity, etc., and therefore I'd rather not be involved in that. So if he said he's a Kohen but he isn't, or a Levi and he isn't, so then, as we'll see in the Mishnah shortly, the marriage isn't binding. Now, just to make sure it's clear here, it doesn't have to be the case where he actually intended to trick her. It could be, for example, he thought he was a Kohen, and then after she accepts the ring and before the wedding comes around or whatever, his father says, listen, I got bad news for your son. Actually, you're not a Kohen. I tricked you or something. So he wasn't the one who was doing, the husband wasn't the one who was doing the tricking. The bottom line is the terms of the marriage weren't met, and therefore the marriage wouldn't be binding, again, even if she says she wouldn't care. Okay. Furthermore, Nasin v'nimtza mamzer, if he says, marry me on condition that I am a Nasin, and it turns out he's not a Nasin, he's a mamzer. Or he says, mamzer, marry me on condition I'm a mamzer, and it turns out he's a Nasin. So a mamzer is a person who is Jewish, but his parents were a union that was forbidden by the Torah under penalty of kares, or it could be his grandparents, anyone in that chain. So a strongly forbidden marriage. So like an incest or something like that. So that child is a mamzer, and a mamzer may not marry into the primary Jewish population. A mamzer could, however, marry certain people, like, for example, a Jewish convert could marry a mamzer. A nasin is a descendant of these people, the Givonim. They tricked Joshua back in the day, and subsequent to that, they're forbidden to marriage into the Jewish people, and but they could marry into... They could marry into, like, a convert as well. So the point is, if the man says that he's a Nasin, and really he's not a Nasin, he's a Mamzer, so his prospective wife, let's call her the convert woman, wouldn't be married to him because she thought she's getting a Nasin, and really she's getting a Mamzer. She might want a Nasin because, a Mamzer is better in as much as he's got, Jewish, regular Jewish parents, as opposed to Nasin, who comes from non-Jews. But maybe since she's a convert, she'd prefer to have her husband who also comes from converts, so that the husband doesn't sort of lord over her. Similarly, if he says Ben Ir, he says they should be married on condition that he is a resident of a town. V'nimtza ben krach. It turns out, actually, he's from a krach, which is a big city. Or if he says, ben krach, marry me on condition I'm from a big city. V'nimtza ben ir. It turns out he's actually from a smaller town. Again, it's not going to work. Because a reasonable person might say, I want to marry someone who lives in the big city because there I can get, my exotic goods. the definition of a krach basically is that it has like marketplaces and people come to bring wares to it. On the flip side, if you live in the big city, it's crowded, you haven't got the green space, maybe she wants to have be part of a town, an ear, where she has more space and fresh air, etc. Amanasha Basi Karav Lamerchat Vinimta Rachok. If he says marry me on condition that my house is close to the bathhouse, and it turns out it's not so close. Or if he says Rachok, he says marry me because my house is far from the bathhouse. Vinimta Karov, it turns out actually that he lives quite close to the bathhouse. Both those again would make the marriage not binding because the person could reasonably say, listen, I want to be close to the bathhouse. It's convenient. I like to shower every day. They didn't have running water back then. So having a next door shower, so to speak, could be very convenient. On the flip side, the air on the bathhouse isn't great. They have these fires burning to keep things warm and so on. So a person could say, I want to be at a distance. The privacy, the fresh air suits me better. Almanas sheyesh li vas. If the husband says, I have a daughter, o shivcha gadelis, or I have a slave girl who can like do, she's like a hairdresser. So then ve'ein lo, if it turns out he actually doesn't, or on the flip side, he says, almanas she'ein li ve'yesh lo. Or he says he has no daughter, or he has no slave girl who's a hairdresser, but it turns out he does. In both those cases, again, it's not binding because a woman might want to have a stepdaughter. She can help with household chores. Or maybe she wouldn't want to have a stepdaughter because that messed up her privacy. She, again, may want to have a slave girl who is a hairdresser because that can have like a passive income for her so that she can have more money to spend. On the flip side, if the slave girl's acting as a hairdresser, she'll be, you know, telling the gossip of what goes on in her home, which the prospective wife might not like. Almanas she'ein li banim ve'yesh lo, almanas she'yesh li ve'ein lo. If he says on condition I have sons but he doesn't, or he says he doesn't have sons but he does, again, a reasonable person might want to have extra stepsons because they can help around the house. She might not want to have stepsons because then they can, you know, maybe mess up, you know, the marital harmony. Maybe they're going to be difficult teenagers. Who knows? In all those cases, uvuchulam, everything we said up to now, afal pisha amra belibi hailis kadish lo afal pichein, even if she says, listen, it's true that he said marry me on condition that, one of the things we said before, and it's true that it wasn't true, but nevertheless, she says, in my heart, I wouldn't care. I don't care if he's a levi or a kohen or a mamzer or a nasin or has a kid or doesn't have a kid. I want to marry him for him. So then, even so, eina mekudeshes, she's not married. The reason is because it could be assumed that a reasonable person might object to these false pretenses. And that being the case, we have a rule which is that devarim shebelev einam devarim. If a person is thinking about something in his heart, in his mind, but not expressing it out loud, they don't have legal significance. And therefore, maybe it's true, maybe it isn't true that she wouldn't care. But since she didn't say she doesn't care, all we can see by the witnesses watching this is he says, marry me on condition that X is true and X isn't true. Therefore, she's not married. V'chein hi shehit atu. Same goes the other direction. If it's the bride, the would-be bride, who made certain commitments, terms, conditions on the marriage, she promised that she is a something, and she actually isn't a something, and that is the kind of something that the husband might object to if it's not true. So then they're not married, even if he says, I didn't care. Still, if she said it was the case and it wasn't the case, and a reasonable person might object to it not being true, then the marriage isn't binding, and they'd have to do kedushin all over again.